This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so you have to file like a published obituary of like Ray Barker or Jim Owsley,
yes,
or any of these people, or John Keel or Richard Hall or Donald Kehoe. There, I said it.
Yeah, unless it's like, you know, Marilyn Monroe or, you know, Frank Sinatra, somebody like that, where their files are actually online. But even if they weren't, if it's somebody who's obviously so well known and they're dead that everybody knows they're dead, then that's a different thing. But if you, you know, you're looking for the files on an obscure UFO researcher who died in, say, 65, that would be more difficult because that may not be online anywhere. And they won't accept, you know, something that's just in a Word document. You know, they want to be able to prove it's a real obituary. So it has to come from an accredited site or cutting from a newspaper with the actual name of the newspaper and where the date, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the other issue is that if the file hasn't already been released, then they have to search for the file, you know, in the old archives underground or whatever, and that can take time, you know, and time takes money. They can charge you by the hour for search fees, you know, to look for documents. And that's only done, really, because somebody literally does have to go and search for these files that may not have surfaced. Now, that's why if you go to the FBI's website, The Vault, you can find now hundreds and hundreds of subject matters which comprise altogether probably millions of pages because they've already been declassified, so you can read those. But if you've wanted something that hasn't already been declassified, that could be more difficult. And even if there is a file, you know, there are like six pieces of legislation that allow for the continuing withholding of files. You know, for example, if you wanted to find the FBI's file on one particular researcher and there was something in that file about, you know, the person's health, health privacy issues are actually one part of the Freedom of Information Act that can allow files not to be declassified because alive or dead, it violates a person's health privacy.
The most expensive FOIA request that you've heard about. I've heard of people doing requests and they get back, well, it's going to cost you X amount of money for us to release that information. I've heard some outlandish sums. What's your personal highest money amount and what's the highest one that you've heard of?
I couldn't tell. I know the highest one I've ever heard of is in, you know, literally in the thousands. But, you know, if you're going to make a request, what they recommend is that you put like a dollar limit on it. You know, you say something like, I hereby request access to files on John Smith, whose last known address was, et cetera, and he's his obituary, for search fees and photocopying fees. Or, you know, put them in on a PDF on a disc and send it to you. I agree to pay up to, you know, $150. And if they think it's going to come to any more, they will let you know to see if you want to proceed beyond that point. As I said, you know, so many files have surfaced that it's not, you know, it's not paranoia to think you've got a file when the Adamski, Van Tassel, Williamson, Bender, yeah, all those Frank Stranges, all those files have been declassified, you know, so there's no reason why there shouldn't be files on us today. It would make more sense, it would actually make great sense that there would be files on us when you look at the fact that that's how it was in the past as well.
I shudder to think what kind of files they have on me.
Well, you know, I think a lot of these files, if you look at the older ones, they're sort of just basically collections of data, you know, somebody goes along and listens to somebody's lecture so they get an idea of who you are. They might pick up a copy of the book. I mean, Frank Edwards' book, for example, Flying Saucers Serious Business, there's actually a three-page review put together by the FBI on that book. You know, so they go out sort of the regular way of finding information. Now, and I guess, you know, if they want to take things further in today's world, that's much easier. You know, monitor your email, your cell phone, your landline, you know, your Twitter feed, Facebook messages. I mean, none of that is safe today, you know, and it's far easier than having to sort of intercept mail and lurk outside somebody's home or whatever, you know. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's still going on, you know, to what extent anything's actually done with it, or it just, you know, enters this huge, you know, sort of online vault of data on this person and that person. I think that's probably more likely, you know, for the day when it may be needed, but probably won't. You know, as I said, I think a lot of it comes down to, like, parallels with animal rights people and things like that. Certain people just view you as, if you're into that kind of thing, you're a troublemaker, you're anti-government. When you're not, you know, you're interested in something, or you care about the environment or something that make you, right, make you anti-government, you know.
Well, this would be a good spot to ask one of the questions that we have at our question bank, where our listeners are able to post questions that we then ask our guests here on the show. And this one comes from Chuckleberry Finn, who has been a poster here at the question bank and on the forum since 2007. And he's only got 693 messages in 9 years, but you pulled him out of the woodwork, Nick. It's Chuckleberry Finn. And he's wondering if you know why were special agents of the FBI so deeply interested in the life, career, and activities of science fiction author Philip K. Dick. Now, this is something I didn't know, that he had an extensive FBI file. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I've actually got Philip K. Dick's FBI file. I mean, if you read the file, it's actually a really weird one. He wrote a number of letters to the FBI, which the FBI responded to and looked into. He claimed that he'd uncovered this sort of post-war Nazi, almost like a Fourth Reich, which was secretly going around and speaking to sci-fi writers and basically, in some cases, trying to bribe them or threaten them into inserting pro-Nazi propaganda into their sci-fi novels. And he claimed, Philip K. Dick claimed, that he was visited by several of these sort of sinister, sort of post-Third Reich, you know, even post-Fourth Reich kind of characters who wanted him to slant his sci-fi novels in a way that sort of pasted the Nazis in a good light, so to speak. And he felt there was this vast conspiracy trying to invade the world of sci-fi writing to do that. And that was one of the main issues that caused the FBI to look into this particular story.
Wow, interesting. Do we have any other authors? Heinlein, Bradbury, Asimov?
Well, I'm not sure. Ray Bradbury's file's on at the FBI's website, if I remember correctly, but there's nothing sort of really major in there. One of the really interesting ones is, it's actually two separate files, but one on L. Ron Hubbard and the other one on the Church of Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard's file is extensive, and one of the weird and interesting things in there is that he reported to the FBI how, or it reached the FBI through the police, I think, but he woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this weird character in the bedroom who injected something into his arm. Or his chest, I forget which one it was now, but it was basically that, you know, some sinister guy had come into the home and injected him with something. And, you know, it was a really weird story, and a couple of people I shared it with wondered if it actually was like some sort of early MK Ultra type thing, you know, sort of filling Hubbard with sort of mind-altering chemicals and whatever, and, you know, and then, of course, he got involved in Dianetics and Scientology. You know, one of the guys I spoke with actually wondered if it was sort of like an MK Ultra creation almost. You know, he was an unwitting individual in this program, and part of it involved, you know, him being pumped with chemicals to get him around to this idea of aliens and UFOs and so on.
Let's go into that and other stuff with Nick Redfern. Starting from Women in Black and going way, way beyond, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The Paracast. Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I'll tell you something here. The Scientologists are going to be after us.
I was going to say, the owners of this program do not... our guests do not reflect our editor.
No, but I mean, joking aside, it is interesting. I mean, that is actually in the file where it talks about, you know, and he wondered, I think, if I think he said something like it was to cause a thrombosis or something like that. But it is in the file, and there's a lot of interesting things about his background.
Anything about his relationship with Jack Parsons?
I don't think so, but Jack Parsons' FBI file has been declassified. That's heavily extensive. And a lot of it deals with how he wanted to do some work, rocket-based work, in Israel. And, of course, that sort of raised a few eyes, and background checks were made, and reportedly, supposedly, sort of taken some classified rocket-based files from the office, and he lost his top-secret clearance with the military.
Yeah, I was going to say, they jerked his clearance.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But there's some interesting things, little snippets in there. There's a few references in the FBI file to his connections to Aleister Crowley, and also to, you know, his own interest in the occult. And he makes references to things like, you know, he's hanging out with, quote, like, loose women and things like that. You know?
Yeah, the horror of that one.
Yeah, but a lot of those people who were interconnected, you know, like, as I said, like Hubbard and Parsons, you know, they all had files on them, and some of them have surfaced. So, you know, it's sort of a fascinating thing when you start looking into a lot of these Freedom of Information files. For example, in the Truman Bethlehem file, Truman Bethlehem was this 1950s contactee who claimed to have met this hot-looking space alien woman named Aura Raines. Well, in the FBI files and written by the FBI, Aura Raines is described, and I'm quoting exactly here, a ravishing space commandant.
Who was not even 5 foot tall. She was very, very diminutive.
Yes, very short. But she was pretty good looking, but she was like, yeah, really short. But you know, one of the weird things about, I actually talk about Truman Bethlehem and the Women in Black, because Bethlehem had these alleged encounters with these strange entities, if you like, from a planet so-called Clarion, and the captain of the craft was supposedly this Aura Raines, and Bethlehem himself described as being tops in shapeliness and beauty. That was his exact words versus the
FBI. He wrote a whole book of rhyming couplets, poetry.
Yeah, that's right. And that, but it is aboard a flying saucer, so that's the sort of one that he's most well known for. Yeah, one of the lesser-known things, and I point about this in the book, in the Women in Black book, is the fact that Bethlehem claimed to have seen Aura Raines actually walking down the streets of both Los Angeles and Las Vegas on a couple of occasions, and she was in disguise. And he described her as wearing black sunglasses, a black beret, a black long black top, black sunglasses, and a red skirt. So she was almost like a classic woman in black. This happened on several occasions where...
Sounds like Linda Howe.
Allegedly... What's that?
Sounds like Linda Howe. She wears a beret.
Oh, I never thought about that. But...
One thing that bothers me, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, could all this that Truman Bethlehem came up with been a metaphor for some real-life relationship he had with a woman, but he couldn't admit he's just... has the hots for this woman or had an affair, so he made up this whole story about a woman from outer space.
Well, I don't think he made it up in terms of he deliberately lied or anything like that, but there, a very good case can be made that there was a major psychological aspect to it, because when he allegedly met Aura Raines, he was on his second marriage, and that was already in trouble. So, you know, and he was working away from his wife for several months out in Nevada while she was back home in California, and he claimed to have these eerie encounters with this woman, Aura Raines, on a place called Mormon Mesa in Nevada. And if you read his story, when he met these little people, the Clarionites, as they were called, and the leader of the Clarionites, this beautiful woman, they actually sound like classic Middle Ages era stories of, you know, somebody gets taken, a man gets taken to the fairy kingdom and, you know, has sex with a fairy queen and then finds that 200 years have gone by instead of 2 months, that kind of thing. There's a lot of parallels there. And another thing that's quite telling is that after his second divorce, Bethlehem got married for a third time to a woman named Alvira Roberts. Now, Alvira begins with A and ends with A, as does Aura, and Roberts begins with R and ends with S, as does Rains. So, subconsciously or not, you know, it was all perhaps Alvira Roberts and Aura Rains, you know, that wasn't coincidental. It was like he was so obsessed with this woman, whether she was real or not. You could really do a good psychological study on him as to whether or not he had real experiences or his mind was so altered, if you like, and he actually believed the fantasies that he didn't lie about but may have sprung into his mind as a way to try and, you know, like a comfort zone or something along those lines.
Yeah, Ray Stanford has a very interesting story that really makes you scratch your head about Truman Bethram, and that is that supposedly before she left to return to Clarion, she went into a jewelry store and had a special pendant made for Truman. She was unable, because she was leaving, she was unable to give it to him, but she extracted a promise from the jeweler that when he saw Truman to give him this as a parting gift. This was told a friend, I think, if I remember correctly, a friend of Truman's was the one that told Ray this story. It was something to do with the jeweler kind of put his initials on the back of this. It was like a medallion, and you know, that you wore around your neck with a chain. And evidently, I have to go back to my manuscript of the book, the Ray book, but evidently there was validation of this later when the jeweler, I think, saw Truman at a speaking at a conference or something, and he saw he was wearing the medallion, and it had his initials on it. Something like that, or the jeweler told this guy the story, and the guy didn't know whether to believe it or not. And then he saw Truman, and he saw the medallion, and he turned it over, and sure enough, there was the initials on there. I have to go back to get all the details, but Ray was very impressed with this. And in fact, he said, you know, he met all these guys, Williamson, George Van Tassel, Adamski. He spent quite a bit of time picking his brain and debunking his photographs, ultimately. But he said out of all of them, the one that he seems to think maybe had some validity or some truth to it was the Truman Bethram account. For some reason, he just was had a feeling that something really extraordinary had happened to the guy, and that maybe he had embellished the story. But the essence of the story, according to Ray, appeared to ring true on it, for what that's worth.
If we don't do this, we'll have more troubles. We've got Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free ReputationDefender.com.
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so according to Ray Stanford, if any of these cases has any authenticity, it would be Truman Bethlehem. Of course, there's also the theory that George Adamski had something happen to him early on, years before his alleged contact in the desert. And he wasn't getting the attention he wanted. So he embellished the contact in the desert to make himself famous.
Right, and fabricated the photographs. In fact, he even showed Ray and his twin brother Rex how he his photographic techniques. The famous shot of the mothership with the glowing objects kind of hovering around it. He Adamski had a friend who worked at a watch company, and they used to use highly radioactive radium to make the numbers glow, and he got a small pail of this radium and used it to make the saucers glow in which he then photographed. And Ray says, "Well, you know that stuff's pretty dangerous." He goes, "Oh, I got a little bucket over here."
Well, I think sometimes, you know, with the early contactees, they weren't lying. I think they may actually have experienced something which sort of manifested in something that it sort of hauled out of their imagination and their subconscious. In other words, you know, we could be dealing with some sort of phenomenon that could be literally extraterrestrial, it could be here, but gets into our minds, gets into the depths of our imagination and our subconscious and manifests for us in the most applicable and relevant way to communicate with us. Maybe that's why today people see the greys, because they're so ingrained in popular culture. That's right. Why in the early 50s people saw, like Adamski saw, the long-haired space brothers. Maybe Truman Bethlehem wasn't lying, but his mind, some intelligence, ethereal intelligence, presented itself in the form of exactly what Truman Bethlen wanted, the perfect woman after having two failed marriages, you know. So maybe there's something to that idea that, you know, the phenomenon, that perhaps that's why the phenomenon changes so much over the years, because right. it's responding to our perceptions of how it should appear, you know.
Right. And it's almost like it may be some sort of collective thing that there is in some way coming up with the types of scenarios that create these super memes, these meme plexes, that the ultimate end of the end result is to draw us off planet, so that we get off the Earth before it gets hit by an asteroid or destroyed by nuclear war or, you know, whatever. We do need to get out and see the cosmos at some point before the planet, you know, at least in a billion years. We know the sun's going to probably go supernova and all life in the inner solar system will be, toasted. So it could be some sort of collective evolutionary imperative that's being enacted through specific key people in history who somehow managed to push the memeplex forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the theories, kind of like that, that's been put forward for the Men in Black, that they're so ingrained in society and that, people are aware of this image, that we unknowingly create them, you know, that we've created the image of these sort of sinister guys in black with the fedoras that kind of give off this air of authority, like official authority, but which clearly aren't, but which may not be, without us, they may not be able to live, because in some strange way our subconscious has created that particular image and then expanded on it as the phenomenon becomes more and more known. You know, kind of a classic situation in more modern times would be like the Slender Man, which, you know, was absolutely an internet creation, and now people swear they see the Slender Man. Well, maybe they actually are, because so many people know of it that we've inadvertently manifested a real Slender Man.
Right. Well, it's interesting that the early Men in Black reports, going all the way back to Barker and the early 50s reports, that's right when film noir was really had just peaked, and the whole black and white sort of sinister men in fedoras lurking in the shadows was quite a very strong and prevalent artistic motif in film, and so maybe that had something to do with the actual detailing of these entities as they manifest and get all sinister on our witnesses.
So again, we're creating our own Men in Black.
Right.
Yeah, it's one possibility. It's like after Close Encounters, we had an upsurge in UFO reports. After Communion came out, we had an upsurge in reports of alien grays, and they only really happened initially in the United States, and it took quite a number of years for that meme to filter outside of the United States, and reports of alien grays start being reported in other countries. I forget who it was, but a number of years ago, somebody tried to figure out what the earliest alien gray report was, and quite a number of people were contacted and asked to go through their files and see if they could come up with the earliest account of an alien gray, that very classic sort of archetypal motif. And of course, the earliest one would be Aleister Crowley and Lamb in 1919, where he changed the eyes to make them look more human-like, because the original drawing was so scary that friends said, if you're going to publicly release this, you got to make it a little bit less alien-looking, basically. So I don't know. What's the earliest alien gray account that you can think of, Nick?
Well, certainly, the Lamb one is, you know, a classic. But what I would actually say, you know, there are a lot of parallels if you look back at the old sort of 500-600-year-old encounters in Europe, and particularly, you know, like Scotland, Ireland and Wales, of so-called fairy encounters. Now, today, people think of fairies, you know, they think of, like, Tinkerbell and little characters flitting around, you know, little lights and Christmas trees, all that kind of thing. You go back, you know, 500-600 years, the fairies were like quite sinister things. They were sort of small, you know, entities that would live deep underground, and they would interact with people. They could be friendly, they could be malevolent. they would steal babies and leave what was called a changeling, like this crudely carved model of a baby. They would seduce men to have sex with them because reportedly the fairy population was blighted and was dying and needed, quote, new stock. People would have missing time experiences with the fairies. So you can actually put all of those stories into a UFO context, and they parallel very, very closely a lot of today's abduction stories. So,
right.
You know, one person's grey could be another person's fairy or goblin, you know, or sprite. Right. And so, you know, to get back to your question, some of those centuries-old stories could be their equivalent of the greys. You know, it could have been one and the same thing.
Yeah. Well, of course, the two preeminent books on the subject are Fairy Faith in the Celtic Countries by Evans Wentz, which came out, I think, in the early 1900s. And then, of course, Jacques Vallée's seminal work, Passport to Magonia. So anybody that wants to look at those parallels, those are two highly recommended books. The most recent Evans Wentz book has a very, very interesting and eye-opening introduction by the one and only Terence McKenna.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how about a couple of other questions here that we have? Here's one from Spectre73, who's been a member of the Paracast for about a year and a half. And he's wondering, he says, a few of us Paracast UK listeners are getting together in the new year to start our own research. And I think they're interested in haunted sites. I'm even going to try to make it over there if possible. But what advice would you give for getting into field investigation? It's kind of an open-ended big question, but, you know, you have any pointers, any tips?
Before we have those tips, let's do our break and come back with our final segment with Nick Redfern. With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
And now, three recent financial memories. Remember the market drops of 02, the financial crisis of 08, the flash crash of 2010. It's not if, but when. What do you have in place to protect your profits? OnTheMarkMoney.com introduces WealthGuard, a complete portfolio monitoring system that sends out direct alerts when your accounts hit a targeted downside value, and it works with all your retirement accounts, even 401k. Learn how to get WealthGuard free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Nick Redfern, I know you're chomping at the bit to provide an answer to the listener question mentioned at the end of the last segment. So go ahead, please.
Yeah. I think the one thing I would say more than anything else is if you're going to get into the UFO subject and investigate it, do field work and things like that, don't go into it with a preconceived conclusion or idea as to what you think UFOs are, where they're from, or what their agenda is. Just look at each case on its own merit. I think some of the biggest damage in ufology has been done by people who've got preconceived beliefs as to what happened in this case or where the entities are from or whatever. The ideas and the themes have stuck to where they've become perceived as 100% truth. So I think the important thing is look at it open-mindedly. Maybe the subject or the phenomenon is extraterrestrial. Maybe it's interdimensional, multidimensional, paranormal, time travelers, who knows? But don't get caught up in saying it's definitely this or that. That's what I would avoid on any investigation.
But be objective.
Yeah.
And my tip would be always assume a mundane explanation until you can prove something extraordinary occurred. Assume a mundane explanation and let the facts and the evidence disprove your assumption. If you're going to assume anything, assume that it's mundane.
Just be grounded as well, you know.
And I have 13 rules, suggested rules of investigation that I published in three of my books, so Mysterious Valley, End of the Valley, and Secrets of the Mysterious Valley has 13 suggested rules of investigation. Don't ask leading questions is a good one. Appearances can be deceiving. Also, be aware of coincidences and synchronicities. Oftentimes, those are indications that you're on the right track. Don't rely solely on intuition. Intuition can be an invaluable investigative tool, but it is not the end-all to be-all. You can't totally rely on your intuitive sense about a person, case, or event.
The rules of engagement.
That was a showstopper. And learn from Nick and John Greenwald how to do FOIA requests. Because, well, they got it down to a science.
I don't do them anymore now. I mean, the ones I've got, you know, the FBI is always posting new ones on their websites. They just reposted after a few years the Nikola Tesla file, which is a good one. But I don't do FOIA stuff anymore. I sort of did what I wanted to do, and I know a lot of other people are doing it. So, you know, I prefer now just to sort of focus on, you know, witness investigations, that kind of thing, right. Or expeditions as well.
When they actually have an information, they can just post it. That's a normal process, isn't it now?
Well, yeah. I mean, if an individual posts, you know, requests something, they will mail it to you. But if they're just going through their own files to see what can be released, if they find stuff that can and they think it will interest people, yeah, they'll post it to the vault, yeah. That's the name of the FBI's website, The Vault. Yeah.
Right, and also John Greenwald's Black Vault files. I think he's got over 1 million pages of documents there.
Amongst all the FOIA stuff, the FOIA stuff that you got, Nick, anything really surprise you, or was most of it pretty much expected?
There's one file that kind of surprises me. That's the FBI's file on, you remember in 1986 when the space shuttle Challenger exploded on takeoff? Killing all the crew. Well, the FBI opened a file on this to see if it could have been sabotage, because a number of people around the country were saying that they thought they saw like some sort of light flash towards the fuel tank, you know, the idea of like some sort of laser-guided weapon or something from terrorists. But what's really weird is there's quite a substantial section in that file which the FBI took very seriously and interviewed the source. It was a woman who claimed sort of contact with higher extraterrestrial entities, who told her who destroyed the shuttle and why it was destroyed. And it runs to like 20-something pages, and that section of the file runs to about 20 pages. And some of the files, the pages in that file, are still classified. You know, so that's kind of a weird little file. You know, you'd imagine it would be just a straightforward file on the shuttle explosion and was it accident, was it terrorist, but now there's actually a section in there. It almost sounds like a channeling contactee type situation with this woman getting these messages from these higher entities, as she termed them.
Say what?
Yeah.
Leave no stone unturned.
Yeah, go to the vault and type in space shuttle and you'll see the file. And when you dig your way through it, you'll see there's an entire section on this woman who said she knew why it was connected supposedly with some ancient Japanese cult, sacrificial rites and all sorts of weird stuff. But the information she said came from these higher beings.
Or it may have been just a case of trying to be complete in their investigation. So they add anything even if it may seem irrelevant.
No, I mean, I don't dispute that, but in terms of high strangeness in a file, whatever the motivation, it is weird to find that in the file, you know what I mean?
Any new revelations on the Collins Elite, who you mentioned in your book, Final Events, this group within the government?
Occasionally I get things, but nothing major. I mean, people have often said to me, you know, will you ever do a follow-up book? And I probably won't, because there's not enough material to justify to writing it. It would just be filler right now, you know. I mean, I'll give you an example. I've got a few cases in the last couple of years where military pilots had seen UFOs and a couple of police officers, and two of them told me personally how they were visited by representatives of this particular group who asked them all sorts of questions about what they thought the phenomenon was and did it have any sort of occult or even demonic overtones to it. And it kind of sounded like the sort of people who were in the Collins Elite. This was back in the 70s, though. So that there are little things like that have surfaced now and again, but nothing major, you know. And that's you know, just one of the unfortunate things, that sometimes you get something and you hit a brick wall and, you know, doors close or whatever, but I still look out for stuff, and I still get things now and again, but as I said, it's snippets, but they are sometimes snippets that make me think that they're still around, or, you know, they were doing stuff that, you know, went beyond just what I included in the book. So.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time, Nick. What do you have on your agenda?
Well, actually, believe it or not, next year I'll have another book out, which is like a combination of all the latest MIB and Women in Black cases I've got. I've also got an A to Z book coming out with Visible Ink Press next year called Secret Societies. It's like 200 entries of secret societies throughout the centuries and up to the present day. So.
If someone wants to get in touch with you, where can they check out your stuff?
Well, I have a blog called World of Whatever. If people type in Nick Redfern, World of Whatever, they'll find the blog, and there's a contact page there, or they can reach me at Twitter, it's Nick Redfern UFO, or Facebook, people can reach me there too. And all the books are on Amazon, and some of them are at Barnes & Noble as well.
Yes, there still is a Barnes & Noble. There are still bookstores, one or two left. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter. Just look for the Paracast on Twitter. Most of our activities there, very frankly, aren't sending provocative notes at 3 a.m. They're putting up announcements about the shows and future shows. We have a presence on Facebook, which is much the same thing. Two Paracast fan clubs. We also have another radio show. In addition to the ones on Paracast Plus, I do something called the Tech Night Out Live about technology and Apple and Microsoft and all that stuff. But we have that second radio show going on called After the Paracast for Paracast listeners, only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer the After the Paracast podcast, which can be all sorts of things, interviews, just us talking. You never know. We give you the commercial-free version of this show. We've added videos. We've added content from Paul Kimball's Other Side of Truth that includes the audio shows, some videos, like I said, a vintage video of Nick Redfern turned up there. He didn't even know that. We found it. Or actually, Paul found it. If you want to learn more, and the monthly rates start just $4.99 for a subscription, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Nick Redfern, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.